My drip is too hard.
And that's the intro.
Yes!
We're flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. Everybody, we're
dang,
insanely.
That sounded so depressed.
Way to kick things off.
It's pretty depressing.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome.
How's your day?
I mean,
outside the box, post game. Dom, Kyle, Brooke, we're here. Wings lost.
We're barely
not
holding
only
out.
Are you doing the intro, you're doing the intro now.
I'm sorry, I stole that one from you like last time I got the intro.
Yeah, as you can tell by my voice, I'm depressed because the Wings, yet again, can't seem to find a win, and they end up losing this one 13-12 to the Rock.
Brutal.
Kyle Bennett, Brooke Destra, Dom Ponteri on his first post-game show. Dom Ponteri at his first game as media this year.
Hey.
Woo.
He's out here.
Whole crew.
You already know what it is.
Very disappointing to see... the outcome of this game be a loss, especially after the start the Wings got off to. I was kind of at a loss for words as soon as the clock hit zero and we lost. But how you guys feeling about this one?
Brooke, you can start.
Okay. Well, on this end, there's a lot of... I'm not somebody who's here for moral victories. You either you win or you lose, but... on this side of the team, they basically did everything right except close this one out and started off strong but fell flat on the second half. So a lot of promising things. They were 3-4 on the power play, which was a huge struggle for the, you know, beginning of the season. And they're turning a corner. It's just their inability to close out games, which is ultimately their downfall right now. But
yeah.
Lots of moral victories tonight, that's for sure.
Yeah, Coach Day said that, you know, they everything that they worked on in practice that they, you know, kind of said they needed to work on,
mm-hmm.
they obviously showed their improvement this game. The power play was great. Kevin Crowley and Kyle Matisse had great games tonight. But the rest of the team really couldn't, you know, step up to the plate. I'm not even going to go through all my notes right now. You can see, like, I was writing up
Dom
a storm all
ready.
Game. First half, like you said, the first half was great. Like, when the first half ended, I had a lot more positives than negatives, and then the negatives
caught
up.
It was just a steady decline throughout the end, and then it just crashed and burned within the last half of the fourth. So
I'm not going to lie. I wasn't happy with where we were with the score at halftime either, 7-4. It was too close of a game for my liking, and obviously, you know, that showed. But a lot of chances were just kind of given up.
Yep.
Right. I mean, you also have to, sorry to
no, go
cut
ahead.
You off,
go
but
ahead.
Give credit to the Rock as well. I mean, they were 4-1 and top in their division right now, so they know how to fight back, they know how to close out games, they know how to take hold of a game and pull out wins, so they really came out in that second half and turned things around.
You saw in the fourth quarter there.
Dominated.
Their stars basically just took over. And
yep.
I started watching Schreiber more, and he's now pass behind the back, take it around, little dish in space between, like, three guys, and it's wide open, layups on in front of the goal. but, I mean, we started out nice. Rambo had a nice start to the game,
which
I was very excited to see. I was excited to see that, especially after Coach Day, you know, had to tell him, you know, don't be anybody else, be yourself. And you're starting to see it a little bit more.
Yeah. Another game where he goes 2 goals, 1 assist. He got the scoring going, and the Wings were leading 5-1 after the first quarter in this one. They just looked like a totally different team. Alex is down shooting photos, texts me and Brooke, new team, who dis? But then, like you said, Dom, you know, Toronto got back into it in the second quarter. It's 7-4 at halftime.
Yeah.
And then fourth quarter comes, and Toronto scores more goals in that quarter alone than they did the entire game. They put up 7 goals in the fourth quarter. And, you know, in the post-game press conference, Coach Day said there were some defensive injuries. They were running out there, you know, shorthanded on the defense. You saw Trevor Baptiste out there for more than just faceoffs, which kind of explains his low faceoff win percentage.
Yeah, he was gassed. He was gassed.
So, you know, the low numbers for defense due to injury definitely played a part in this one. I don't think this was Doug Buchan's fault at all. He had
a fantastic game.
No, he played great.
Another game where he finishes the entire game, goes a full 60 minutes, and he's continuing to prove why he needs to be the starting goalie each and every game.
You know what's scary? This score could have been a lot worse because you remember me saying, like, how many times did they hit the crossbar?
Yeah.
It was about 5 times
the span of seven minutes or something. The Rocket had us beat. Because I think, and I didn't get to ask the question in the press conference, but I think also because they were so tired, there were communication problems on the defensive end. You could see it. People not picking up their marks. They didn't rotate correctly. They double-teamed the ball, and the third person didn't go to rotate around. They always left somebody open. Excuse me. And that's kind of – it was apparent starting in the second quarter. That's when it started going downhill. Mm-hmm. You saw a lot of people, like, they're pointing, not knowing where to go. Two people are ball watching, and somebody, you know, finds their way into the slot. And it's just, you know, it's those little things that get me so angry.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't mind losing a game if you fight hard. And, I mean, we did fight hard. But, you know, those little things, those can be fixed. And you know, at the professional level, you don't expect, you know, those problems to be so apparent. And I guess the only excuse we can say is they were gassed.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't want to talk because they were so tired.
And, like, we didn't even realize that guys were injured, and we were just, you know, like, you know, what the hell's going on?
Right.
You know, guys are spinning circles around our defense right now, and this wasn't happening the first three quarters of the game. And then we find out there were some injuries, but positives from this game. The power play looked fixed. They go 3-for-5 on the power. They scored more power play goals tonight than they have throughout the entire season.
Yeah.
Coming into this game, they were 2-for-17 on the power play. They go 3-for-5 tonight.
That's what they need to keep doing.
Yeah.
They need to keep that.
Kevin Crowley is not human.
No, he's not.
10 total points, 4 goals, 6 assists. Just unbelievable performance by him.
Just rolling through the stat sheet, almost every goal.
Go down that stat sheet a little bit.
Yeah.
Crowley, assists, goals.
Matisse was 3 goals, 4 assists as well.
He's had a great past, like, 3 games. And
you know, what I noticed, and I said this to you a couple times, they're relying on those two guys way too much, though.
Yeah.
And it's obvious when you watch the game. Reardon is only really scoring goals if he's on a transition kind of play, or he's getting a rebound, which he does so well. He knows how to do that. He crashes the net, and he gets those loose balls, puts them back in the net. But Rambo giving us 2 goals, that's nice. But when you have that production, you need the production from your other rookie, too. And Kluche just did not get it done.
He's disappeared for 3 games now. He has not scored a goal. 2 assists for Kluche tonight. And the weird part is his goal drought has started since Kevin Crowley showed up. And I don't know if it's just a chemistry thing with them kind of just trying to figure things out together, or if he just is not figuring things out mentally.
I think he needs to add another dimension to his game.
And I was talking to you about that yesterday after practice. You know, during practice, he was working on kind of just crashing the net and kind of being a physical force. And I was like, he needs to add that to his arsenal.
He has the body to do that.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, If anybody who's watched Chris Kluche, especially in the field game, he's a fancy player. Mm-hmm. He scores one-handed goals. He scores behind the back. He scores backhand. And it's not even a matter of, you know, on the field you can use both hands when you play, because he normally only stays in his left hand, which is the same thing you do here. He's just only shooting underhand right at the goalie, trying to find these like little corners or off the pipe when, you know, he should fake and then go high, or he should, you know, take it into his right hand and maybe do a one-handed shot. We saw one in the first quarter or second quarter, but like it wasn't the best. But I think once he starts, you know, getting a better feel for the game and an understanding that he can get back to doing the things he knows how to do, it'll come around. But I don't think we'll see that till like next season.
Yeah. He's got to figure something out, because they need his offense.
Yeah. So, we do.
You know, you can't, like you said, you can't rely on Kevin Crowley to put up 10 points every night. You can't rely on Kyle Matisse to put up 7 points every night. You got to have consistency. And, you know, we talk about this with every other team, too, during our preview shows. There's teams that just rely on two guys, and that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
That only can be sustained for so long before teams are like, okay, we're going to make our defensive game plan to shut down these guys. Have your other guys try to figure things out.
And it's a team sport for a reason.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can't just rely on one or two players, strong goaltending, strong offense. If everyone isn't contributing to some degree, it's eventually going to catch up to you. And even though Crowley had a strong game like that, aside from Matisse, there's little that you can really pull from aside from Rambo's handful of goals. And
yeah, assists. You can draw an analogy to that. Like, kind of like how the Celtics played the Sixers in the second round last year. You know, that you shut down Embiid, you shut down Simmons, mm-hmm. the rest of the team has to perform, and they didn't.
Right.
It's the same thing when you're playing the wings. If you shut down those two guys, like you said, you force all these other guys who don't really, you know, give you the
production.
Stats
yeah.
that you need to win a game. You know, Rambo
was kind of the
get
TJ
two.
McConnell of
yeah,
the
he'll
game.
Get he'll get like two goals this week, but like next week he may only have one. He may have none. Kluche hasn't scored in three straight games.
It's concerning.
Blaze Reardon isn't the guy who's a volume scorer and assist guy. You know,
he's
you like
consistent scorer though. He's,
exactly,
since
he'll
he's
get
come
you.
By IR, he scored in every game.
He'll
which
get
you
2 to 3 points every game, mm-hmm. but he's not a guy that you know that you go to and you know he can put up 10 points in a game. So you know you need. If he's the only guy that's been consistent, you need at least three or four other guys who can put at least one or two in the back of the net at any given night.
Agreed.
And then one other thing that stuck out to me, too, is obviously defense. You want to play defense, but little to no offensive production from your defense tonight. Steph Charbonneau was ghost of himself. Liam Patton had one assist. You had Vaughn Harris get a goal and an assist in transition. But the defense was non-existent on the offensive end, and that's something we've come to kind of, you know, enjoy about this team, is that the young defense is at least scoring when they're, you know, on the field, but they were nobody there. You know, Eric Schuhl starts last week, no stats tonight. He had 2 loose balls, and that was it.
I mean, you normally don't see a lot of defensemen scoring, but, like, every game that you watch – in the NLL, you normally see at least one get a goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always nice to have your defense produce a little bit. Mm-hmm. But that, I think, also played into the fact that we were gassed, because you saw a lot, especially in the second half, we didn't go into transition as much when we got, you know, made a save or forced a turnover in our defensive half. We kind of held the ball and then took, like, 5 seconds off the shot clock to let everybody switch on and off. The defensive ones normally happen in transition, so you know, hopefully everybody's all right and we play with a full team.
And I thought one positive, too, was until late in the third quarter, we did a great job of neutralizing and shutting down Tom Schreiber, which is not
that
easy
was one
to
of
do.
My key points. Shut him down until the fourth. It's just if they were able to find a way to close him out and shut him out for the rest of the game, it would have been a done deal. But as soon as he got hot with that one goal, they started running, and when they have an entire team to back them up, it comes full circle. They have a team that can play until their top scorers can come in clutch and close the game out, and it worked in their favor and not for us. So it's unfortunate. It's always unfortunate.
To say the least. What did you guys take away from the press conference with Coach? He seemed to kind of hide his frustration with that end of the game play where he said he didn't really see it. I think he saw it because we saw his face pop up on the Jumbotron here at Wells Fargo Center.
I think I saw a vein out of his head all the way up here.
Beyond pissed.
I don't think that he's completely PO'd. Like, I mean, that one call could definitely change it and send it to overtime if we scored, but he summed it up pretty much by saying we were gas and everybody played hard. Mm-hmm. They did everything right, but close out the game at the very end. You know, the last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter, the Rock went on a huge run. You know, we had the game. We had a couple goal lead. And then we started playing catch up when we were ahead, and that's when, you know, we started going back and forth.
And they did a good job staying, you know, within the one goal range up until the very end. So they did fight through, and it's something that Coach referenced in his press conference as well when he said, you know, they're a better team than they were last week. And that's one of my biggest takeaways from tonight as well, because they were very complete until the closing minutes of the game, and clearly they're making adjustments. I know the defensemen were down toward the end, but there's a lot of promising things.
Yeah.
And you guys know I'm an optimist at this point, but being 0-6
as a Philly fan,
I'm a rare breed. But you have to remain hopeful, and there's a lot of good things to come from this game. And I know that they have a shorter week this week. They play Friday night instead of Saturday. They've played consistently on Saturday throughout the season so far. So I'm curious to see what they're going to take away from this game moving forward into the shortened week.
I know Kevin Crowley said, you know, you can't back up, like, on the excuse of, you know, we're an expansion team. Mm-hmm. But he did make a good point in saying, the only way you really get good in this league is by playing with the same guys for years. And we have a young team. We have a team that really just got put together. And, you know,
Bob the Builder in the building.
And, you know, that's obviously one of the problems and one of the reasons why we struggle. We've only played, what, 6 games now?
Yeah.
So,
and only had 2 weeks of training camp because of the lockout. So.
Yeah, you know, it's not the best scenario for us. You know, and obviously people can argue my point and say, you know, well, look at the Seals. But then again, they also took a bunch of guys like we talked about on Thursday. They took all the guys from Saskatchewan who just won a title. So they have guys who have been playing together.
Right.
You know, we kind of just brought in a bunch of different people and then kind of picked Crowley up when he said he's playing again. So, I think it'll come around. It'll come around. We just and I think, when did we talk about? Dave has said, you know, he wants that defense to grow. The whole defensive unit is super young, so it's like, you know, we just have to be patient. We just have to be patient and be optimistic about it. I agree with that.
They sit at 0-6 now. Game one of the 4-game homestand is done. Like Brooke said, they play Friday night against Rochester. Another revenge game of sorts where they played them earlier in the year, and that honestly was the worst game this team has played all year.
Brutal.
Yeah.
If I'm across from you, like if I'm somewhere over there, because I'll have tickets,
Dom will
I'll tell you where I'm at. Wave high to me.
We'll have stand interaction from Dom next week for that. But looking ahead to that game, you know, Rochester has not looked that great.
Oh, what's the score of that game?
They're actually winning right now.
They're still beating Buffalo?
18-10.
Wow.
Oh my God.
But outside of tonight and that Wings game, Rochester has not looked good. So kind of your thoughts on that, and then I have another hint on a player, too, that I think is just downright struggling. Honestly, probably worse than Cloutier, and it's Jordan Hall. He's disappeared since week one.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking about that. Because I heard his name mentioned during the game, and I was like, wait, he hasn't done much.
He had two assists tonight. He just has been like, to make another Sixers announcement, he's been the Wilson Chandler of this team. He's kind of just been a ghost.
Don't do that to Jordan.
He's been a shell of himself.
Yeah, come on, man. Don't do that.
We just, you need production from a guy like that. You know?
Absolutely. We've said this week in and week out that Jordan Hall is somebody who this team should be able to rely on and should play at a consistent level, but has...
He's your assistant captain for a reason.
Right, right. And there's only so much that you can do off the turf with that level of leadership and presence as, you know, some sort of captain for your team. You need to be able to come out and showcase why you have it, lead your team to a win or at least to a comeback or consistent playing, and he has just fallen through the rafters.
And it's weird that both Jordan Hall and Chris Kluge, since Kevin got here, not saying that Kevin being here is a negative, because it's far from, but those guys have kind of just fallen off drastically. And like Dom's been saying, you know, you can't rely on Kevin Crowley and Kyle Matisse to be your offense. You need guys like Jordan Hall. You need guys like Kluge. Matt Rambo at least contributed tonight once again. He seems to be getting better and better every week. He said it in the press conference today. He's feeling more comfortable with himself out on the field when he's playing. So that's a plus. But you need consistent contribution from at least, like you said, 4 to 5 guys night in and night out when you have a game to really – come out with wins, and that's why this team's 0-6.
And that's the thing, like, I can name you 6 guys right now.
Easily.
And it just, we just need a couple of them to be more consistent, and that's it. And we'd be fine.
Yeah.
We'd really be fine. The defense isn't that bad.
No.
So it's like, we just need to put goals in the net.
And that was one thing we talked about way back when we did our, you know, overall season preview, was this team's going to be known for offense. The defense is a question mark. Defense has come out and kind of proven that, you know, we underestimated them, but now the offense is kind of...
It's fallen flat.
Really dropped in production, and...
They shouldn't have done that SpongeBob video. They shouldn't have done it.
It threw me off guard.
That was one of the positives from tonight.
And I quoted SpongeBob for the remainder of the game.
I have that in there. I said the SpongeBob boulder video was hilarious.
It's a rock. It's not just a boulder. Oh, man.
That was funny.
Looking ahead to Rochester, though, even though they're up 18-11 over Buffalo right now, and Buffalo's been one of the better teams in the league this year, your expectations, Dom, for next week on a short week?
Didn't Rochester win last week, too?
No, they lost to Saskatchewan, I want to say.
But wasn't it like a closer game, I think?
I'll double-check it.
No, Saskatchewan won for sure, because I picked Saskatchewan, and, you know.
Yeah, it was 12-7, the Rush one.
Yeah, and my picks this week are not going to be good. This is probably my worst week on the picks so far. I'm going to be 0-2 right now.
Yeah, so Rochester, in their past couple games, lost 12-7 to Saskatchewan. They lost 12-10 to San Diego. They lost 13-4 to Buffalo
in the year. Yeah, they've been looking bad.
And then they had beaten us 13-9. That second week of the season, and now,
they're beating Buffalo this time,
big time.
Talk about inconsistent.
Hopefully, they don't ride that wave of momentum coming into next week off the short week. You know, it's going to be a battle of the two worst teams in the league. I'm sorry to call the Wings that, but yeah, we're two of the worst teams in the league.
Based off of record,
it's us, Rochester, and Colorado. And
Vancouver.
Oh, yeah, Vancouver's so trash.
The Wings and...
I'm sorry.
Tell me how you really feel.
The Wings and Rochester are arguably the two worst teams in the East.
Yeah.
And then you got Colorado and Vancouver being the two worst in the West.
But yeah, so, you know, this is a battle for last place right now. And
I still want the Wings to come out and battle hard.
hopefully we're not the one that ends up in last place. I feel good. I think that, you know, like we've been mentioning Rambo all night, you know, hopefully that'll be another game for him, you know, to, you know, play well. Hopefully Chris can get a goal and end that drought. And, you know, for our vets to keep up, you know, their good play. As long as we limit Cody Jamison.
Kyle Jackson.
Yeah. those two guys are like their main guys, mm-hmm. and if we
and Resetardis.
I forgot about
that's
him.
Their big three. That's their big three.
We got to shut down at least two of them.
Yeah.
If we do that, because that was one thing we're in good. We're in a good spot.
We didn't shut down Schreiber for a complete 60 minutes. We didn't shut down Hellier, and we didn't shut down Adam Jones.
Yeah.
And that's the big three for Toronto. And they came out and put up the points that they needed. But updated standings as it sits right now before the final of Rochester and Buffalo. Toronto now 5-1 on the season. Buffalo sitting at 4-1, more than likely going to drop to 4-2, which is good news for the Wings. New England's at 3-1. They play tomorrow. Georgia's 4-2. Rochester is 1-3. They'll improve to 2-3. The Wings are 0-6. And then in the West, Saskatchewan 3-1. San Diego 4-2. Calgary 3-4. Colorado 1-3. Vancouver 1-5. So the Wings, still the only team in the league without a win. Hopefully it comes next week. But I think we'll wrap things up with our stars of the game. Obviously, number one, I don't care that we lost Kevin Crowley, has to be star number one.
Across the board, if you get 10 points off of 12 goals for your team, you're automatically the best player out there.
Yeah, I agree. Kevin Crowley, are we only doing Wings or are we talking the whole game?
No, we're going whole game. I'd say Tom Schreiber, number two, 2 goals, 4 assists, puts up 6 points. Or you could go Rob Hellier, who had 7 total points with a hat trick and 4 assists.
Yeah, but then you can also say Jones with 3-2. And same thing with Littner, 3-2. So, you know, they're moving the ball a lot. Holy crap. Cree with 12 loose balls, too. He was a beast in the open court. Same thing, Baptiste, 9 loose balls. That's not too bad. Baptiste had that nice little hit. I forgot to ask him about that. You remember the hit right in front of the penalty box? Put him down, and then he stared at him and looked like he said something. I was going to ask him what
pulled
he said.
Pulled a Joel Embiid on him.
Yeah, it was funny.
I probably would have to go Rob Hellier. He was moving the ball all night for him, was able to put up the most points on the team for him, so I'd say star number two has to be Rob Hellier. And then star number three, kind of a toss-up.
I'd say Schreiber.
I agree.
He stepped in when it was necessary to close the game out.
He sparked their little comeback and everything with a couple goals back-to-back. And that one over here on the left side where it – I don't even know how he snuck it in five holes somehow. But that one – and I saw that goal and I said to myself, yeah, they're going to win
this game.
I'm
pretty sure he had that backhanded assist
That was the turning point.
Mm-hmm. He was – a force to be reckoned with as soon as the game got late and really, like you said, sparked that
That's what happened. He came off a pick and did that little backhand underneath both sticks from the Wings guys. Gets the assist.
You can't stop that.
Next time down, he scores a goal with, like, no room to fit the ball through, essentially. And, you know, it was all downhill for the Wings from there.
Yep. So our three stars of the game, Kevin Crowley, who has 10 points out of the 12 goals the Wings scored tonight, 4 goals, 6 assists. Star number two, Rob Hellier, 3 goals, 4 assists for Toronto. Star number three, Captain America, Tom Schreiber, 2 goals, 4 assists. The Rock win 13-12, another 1-goal win for the Rock against the Wings this year. They handed the helmet out again. Coach Day said they haven't handed it out since week one to Trevor Baptiste, and then gave it to Kevin tonight. So the helmet's back out for sure. And the jerseys looked unbelievable.
We didn't even get to really talk about the whole throwback tonight.
But they were nice.
The jerseys were great. Clean.
Crisp.
They did a very good job with those. And you'll see all the fancy photos that Alex took. You probably already have seen a bunch of them that she tweeted pregame, and they look phenomenal. So make sure you check out her Flickr album later this week. But that's going to wrap things up for this edition of Outside the Box. Wings postgame show. They fall 13-12. To the Rock.
Oh, shout out to the attendance, too.
Very true.
Yes.
11,164.
Insane attendance.
Nice.
Loyal fans.
I like seeing over 10,000 people in Philly to watch a lacrosse game. That's great.
And the Wings did a good job, too, you know, with the presentation of all the videos that they put up, kind of with the background of the game following the events that happened at the last home game. So
it was a very well put together night for sure.
Very good job by the organization there to kind of raise awareness there and, you know, make sure that none of those things happen again here at Wells Fargo Center. So hats off to the Wings there. But like we said, they got a game on Friday, so we'll be back here on Friday night as they host Rochester for game two of this four-game homestand. Short week. We'll see how they can get through that with those injuries. And we'll have updates from practice whenever that may be this week as well. And we'll have our preview show later next week. So
let's get it going.
For Dom and Brooke, this has been Outside the Box number 14 right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. I'm Kyle Bennett, and we are signing off from Wells Fargo Center. Peace.